Well, the nights are starting to drop. It's getting dark earlier. The leaves are beginning to change color. There are a few more leaves down in the garden. But stormy last night. Fields have been harvested around us. It's definitely moving into autumn. We're definitely moving from one season to another. There's that change of season that and all that it brings with it. And maybe we'd like the seasons to stay the same. Maybe we'd love to keep those lovely long summer evenings that we enjoy. Maybe we'd like to keep a little bit of heat in the air. Maybe we'd just like it to stay the same, but the reality is that change is not optional. Because we move from one season into another, from that one period to another period, and we live with all the changes that come with it. It's not optional. Who needs change? Well, change happens. We respond to that change. We live with that change. But it's not just the season that's changing. Over these past months, we have lived with what has now become known as just unprecedented change. There doesn't seem to be any other word to describe it. It's something that hasn't been experienced before. It's something that we couldn't have predicted. And life has just changed in so many different ways. We couldn't have imagined all of this back in January. Back in January, when you were planning out your year ahead, I'm sure you never had any of this in your mind. And yet here it is. And things are still changing. There are new restrictions in parts of the province. In response to that increasing infection rate around us, things are changing all the time. As I said earlier, hopefully in the not too distant future, we will be able to come back here for worship on a Sunday morning, but in a very different way. There will be changes. It's very likely you won't sit in what was your normal seat. You'll be sitting at a distance from people. We will probably have face masks on. Things will be very different. We've probably all learned new things over these past months. Maybe we've discovered new things as well. And some of this has been difficult. We've discovered that we struggle with being isolated. We've discovered how much we value friendships and family. We've discovered what it is to feel anxious. We've made lots of discoveries. Haven't always been bad things. Some many positive things have come out of this. People have discovered new hobbies and talents. People have become less busy and have more time for the things that are truly important. Folks have spent time reading God's word, in prayer, in fellowship, in different ways, and have grown in that. Change has happened all around us. And the truth is this, we're not the same people that we were back in March when all of this started. We've changed in lots of ways. So what has God been doing in you? Over these past months, what has God been saying to you? What has he been doing in you? How have you been challenged by God? Perhaps it's as you've read the Bible, as you've listened to the Bible being read, God has challenged you. Maybe as you have prayed or others have prayed for you, God has poked at something in your life and prodded you. As the Holy Spirit works through God's word, as he works through prayer, we've been challenged. Maybe it's just in fellowship with others. Again, the WhatsApp groups that are operating within our congregation have been such a benefit to so many people. As different people have shared what God is saying to them and doing in them, it has helped others come to wrestle with these things also. So what have you done with what God is changing in your life? What have you done with the challenges that God is making to your life? Have you responded to them? Or have you ignored them? Hope they go away. Or maybe you put them on the back burner because it's one of those things that you hope to get around to one day, but not just at the minute. Just at the minute, life's a bit too crazy, a bit too busy, but one day I'll get around to responding to what God is saying to me. And so my question to myself and to each of us this morning is simply, are you going to waste what God is doing in you and for you? Are you going to waste the ways that God is challenging you, that God wants to change you, or will you embrace them? And will you allow God to change you? Someone has said that the alternative to change is picking a rut and staying in that rut. And the problem is, the longer you stay in a rut, the harder it is to get out of it, the more difficult it is, the more painful it is to leave that rut, and change just becomes less and less likely. It's sad that in many ways it has taken the upheaval of these past months to allow God to speak to us. It's taken all the changes that we've experienced to get us to pay attention to God. So as we pray, let's pray for the grace to respond to God's challenges, to respond to his change, the change that he wants to make in us. There's a lovely picture at the end of that Bible passage which Sandra read for us. We read this: "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." It's a picture of change. Not small, insignificant, trivial, peripheral changes to our lives. This is transformation. Being transformed. And it's not just random transformation so that people are changed in totally different ways. It's transformation to make us become more and more like Jesus. It's a beautiful picture. The change that God is bringing about in you and me is a change which transforms us to become more like his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. God wants us to be more like Jesus. Now, I'm not sure how God wants you to change. I'm not sure of the changes that need to be made in your life and my life so that we become more like Jesus. But I am sure of this. He wants all of us to become more and more like Jesus. And that is both exciting and daunting. It's exciting to think that we could even become slightly like Jesus. God wants us to be like that. But it's daunting because we know the extent of the changes that will be needed. But I'm glad it's not left to me. I'm glad it's not left to me to make all those radical changes in my life. I'm glad that God is at work in us by his Holy Spirit. Moses on Mount Sinai was surrounded by God's glory. And as he came down off the mountain, he put a veil over his face so that the reflected glory of God, as it faded away, people just wouldn't see that glory fading. But it did fade. But again, we read in this passage, with unveiled faces, we will all reflect God's glory. I've used the illustration many times of change in our lives, of a refiner refining gold. Gold that's heated up in a massive cauldron, and as it's heated, all the impurities bubble their way to the surface. And the refiner scrapes those impurities away. And he keeps scraping away until it's pure. How do you know when it's pure? The refiner knew that it was pure because he could look into that liquid gold and see the reflection of his face. It's a picture of what God is about in us. God changing us until that time when he can see the reflection of his face in us. the reflection of his glory as we become more and more like Jesus. But this transformation starts when we accept Jesus as Savior. It's not just a case of waking up one morning and thinking, you know what, I'm going to be more like Jesus. Yes, we need to have that determination. We need to have that decision. But it starts when we accept Jesus as Savior. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, Paul reminds us that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The transformation starts when we accept Jesus into our lives. But it doesn't finish there. Because by his Spirit, God is changing us, molding us, shaping us, until that day when he sees his image in us. We don't get to choose whether or not change will come. It happens. We do get to choose whether we will embrace that change or resist it. Whether we'll respond to what God is doing in us and through us and for us, or walk away from it. The alternative to allowing God to change us is to select that rut and make it ever deeper as we fail to change, as we fail to allow God to transform us. This is the change we all need. It's the change we need as individuals. It's the change we need as a church. It's the change we need as a community, as a nation, and it's the change offered to us graciously by God. Can you imagine it? Your life shining as you become more like Jesus. Can you imagine the impact that will have in your family, in your street, in your workplace, in the place that you go to relax and unwind? Can you imagine the difference it will make if together we are being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ as a church? The impact that that will have. Can you imagine the impact on our nation when communities are becoming more Christ-like in how they live and behave and treat each other? The impact of becoming Christ-like is huge. May God give us the grace not only to recognize how he challenges us, but to embrace it, to seek his change so that we do become more and more like Jesus. I want to pray this morning using a prayer which is printed in our bulletin. It's also on the PCI website. Let's pray. Lord, of this season of stepping into the future, we're beginning to think there might not be much new in what is becoming normal again. Lord, it's so easy to slip back thoughtlessly into old ways as the speed of having to get up and going again picks up pace. We're in danger of missing what it is that you want to teach us through all we've experienced, the kind of change that you want to bring to our lives. And what if what does become new has novelty value for now, but then turns out to be shallow and worthless? It's so easy, Lord, to have our heads turned by the voices of the world, summoning us to lifestyles that do not reflect the heart-changing ways of your kingdom. We're in danger of minimizing those core things that you want to bring back into focus, calling us to prioritize them once again. Lord, it all feels like a bit of a muddle just now, our heads and hearts spinning in the mess of change around us. So please grant us discerning hearts shaped by attentiveness to your word, soaked in prayerfulness, watchful for what you are doing in and around us, not so taken up with all the nuts and bolts of what has to be done and how that we miss the wood for the trees. Lord, we know life has to return to a new normality. But may it be one that is further fashioned by the norms of your ways for us. Help us to trust in you, Lord, with all of our hearts, not to lean on our own understanding or be distracted by the ever-changing sound bites of the world around us. Enable us to see and acknowledge you in all our ways, personal, home, family, social, working, church, and community life. Straighten our steps on your path ahead for our lives as we edge into your new normal. For the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.